Lord, we come before you. We bless your holy name. We thank you for bringing us here this morning. We thank you for, Lord, the opportunity to study your word, to worship you, to give you glory, to give you honor. That we can have a place to come, to get away from hearing all the messages of the world, Lord, and what the world wants, to hear what you desire. We just want to walk in your ways. I pray that as we look through the Gospel of Mark, that we would look at you, be drawn to you, closer, Lord God, than we have before. I pray the words I speak would not be just for me, but by your Holy Spirit, for the building up of your church. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and turn to Mark. We're in chapter 1. Over the next 8 weeks, we're going to look through Mark. There's 16 chapters, so if you would like to do a daily reading, if you do 2 chapters a week, then you'll be right in line with kind of what we're studying. If you don't have a Bible, for some reason, we do have the scriptures printed on paper, like we mentioned before. You just grab them on the back counter. Anybody start a diet this year? Yeah? So, have you anybody on the old grasshopper and honey diet? I hear it's really sweet and crunchy, but you got to make sure the wings don't get stuck in your teeth, you know. Yeah. Now, I don't know if that's a popular diet, but it was the diet of John the Baptist. He wore camel's hair, and I've never rode on a camel, but I would, from what I understood, camel's hair is really itchy, so it's kind of like wearing a wool sweater out in the desert. Why, I don't know. I imagine that maybe it got cold at night. But he's out there, and he's kind of a hermit. You know, John the Baptist was a little different. He was kind of what you might call someone who lived off the grid. And so he's out, and he's eating his grasshoppers and honey. He's in his camel hair cloak. And you would think, well, people are going to leave you alone, right? If you're kind of one of those off the grid people, that you usually don't have a welcome sign at your door, right? You kind of want to be left alone. But that was the opposite in John the Baptist's case. What actually happened with him is that people came to him to hear him. And they came to hear the gospel message. And they came from all over the Judean countryside to hear this guy who was eating grasshoppers and honey. And it's really interesting, because you wonder what was so powerful about what he said. What was so powerful about what John the Baptist was communicating? That people would come out of the city, that they would make the trek out into the desert, that they would go for miles. And it even attracted the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the high important religious leaders of the community. They went out to see what John the Baptist was saying. And so I think it's important, although we don't hear probably the whole sermon, but the gist of it is given in Mark chapter 1. And he says this, starting in verse 1, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, says, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locust and wild honey. And he preached, saying, come after me, who is mightier than the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In those days, Jesus came forth from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, my beloved son. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Now it's interesting. The Gospel of Mark is actually, John Mark wrote the Gospel, but the Gospel of Mark is actually the account of the Apostle Peter. You see, John Mark, you'll read about him in Acts. He was with Paul, he was with Barnabas, and he wrote this perhaps in 57 AD, we believe. And so it's a very short account, but these are the reflections that are coming from Peter, who, of course, you know, spent time with Jesus. And it's really significant that he's unlike Matthew, he kind of just goes right in to Jesus' baptism, doesn't bother with the genealogies, doesn't bother with the whole backstory of Mary and Joseph. Mark just cuts right into it. It's an action movie, right? There's not a lot of dialogue going on. Let's, boom, this happened, this happened, this happened. And so we see right here that a word three times at least, repent, repent, repent. And then the most important thing is that when Jesus says the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is near, Matthew in the Gospel of Matthew is the only place that says the kingdom of heaven, but it's the same thing. He says the kingdom of God is at hand. And I want to talk to you this morning about kingdoms in conflict. I want to talk to you about the kingdom of God and what that actually means. Because there are two kingdoms, if you weren't aware. And these two kingdoms, when Jesus says the kingdom of God, he is pointing out this fact that there are actually two different kingdoms. And these are in the unseen world. These are in the spiritual world. We talk about spiritual battle, right? So when he's talking about the kingdoms, think about Jesus as a king. You might recall, do you recall when Pilate, during the trial of Jesus, when Jesus was asked by Pilate, "Are you the king of the Jews?" What did he say? Right? He said what? "My kingdom is not of this world." My kingdom is not of this world. And so what he was saying is, I'm not from here. Not only that, Jesus isn't even from this universe. Now, some people say, oh, well, you know, aliens visit our planet. There's aliens. Well, you know, Jesus is extraterrestrial. That is, that he did not come from here. He did not even come from this universe, but he comes from a different universe, a different existence altogether, a place where time does not exist. Can you imagine at the speed of thought? Imagine Jesus post-resurrection. He could travel at the speed of thought, right? All of a sudden, one moment, he's with the disciples. Another moment, he's over somewhere else eating something. He doesn't have to eat. Imagine being able to eat, and it doesn't matter what you eat. You can eat anything you want. And the calories are zero. The sugar is zero. So Jesus is there like, hey, Jesus is making breakfast in his post-resurrection body. And he says, "Hey, hey, guys, come. I made you breakfast." Right? After walking on water. So he's walking on water, sits down, and I love this. And Jesus is having breakfast. This is in the Gospel of John. And he's eating, but why? He's not going to gain a pound. Why? He's in a resurrection body. He's in a body that we're going to receive. And this is the thing, what heaven is going to look like is totally different than earth. You've got to understand, there is no time from where God is from. He made time. We have this short little tiny existence and we make so much of it, but when we're with God, there will be no time. There will be no sadness. There will be light everywhere, an unapproachable light. You just think about someplace and you will be there. Think about that. I think I would like to visit Paris today. Oh, there's the Eiffel Tower. Well, that's interesting. Imagine that. And so Jesus is coming. When he says, I'm of a different kingdom, it's a very, very different kingdom. I am not of this world. You guys just want the Roman. You want me to take over so you don't have to deal with the Romans anymore, but I got something way better planned for you. Doesn't that sound better? It's not that you'll, it's not about living forever. It's about time ceases to exist for us. We just exist. That's infinity. That's eternity. There is no more time. Time goes away. Isn't that wild? So I love talking about heaven. This is where God is from. And he is a king. He is King Jesus. Amen? He is a king. And he deserves our worship. But those who follow Jesus are sons and daughters of the kingdom of God. We're heirs in a royal family. Did you know that? We're not just citizens of the kingdom, but we're talked about as actual royalty. Now, that might be hard to imagine, but there's so many of us. I mean, don't get caught up in the numbers, but that would be millions in a royal family. We can't think in a human way. But think about how cool it is that we're royalty, that we're called heirs with Jesus, that he's the first of us, that he calls us brothers and sisters. Isn't that amazing? This is all in the scripture. This is the kingdom of God. It's something that we're all related by spirit to Jesus. We're heirs in the royal family. But we are at war with another kingdom. There is another kingdom, which is ruled by another spiritual being. In Ephesians, he is called the prince of the power of the air. In chapter 6 in Ephesians, in the Greek language, under cosmic power, it's kosmokrator, or world ruler. He is called the god of this age in the Bible. He is called Satan, the devil, which means accuser or liar. He's called Lucifer, Beelzebub. He has many, many different names. He is not the personification of evil, but the greatest one who perpetuates evil in the society. He rules over this earth. God is God of the universe, yes, but the devil rules this world. And so the next time someone blames God for all the bad things happening in the world, going, you do know who's in charge here, right? And we're fighting against him, right? People aren't our enemy, the devil is. Amen? So we're at war with this kingdom, but when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, the devil offered to him the kingdoms of this world. I want to show you from scripture, I'm not just saying this. Remember, in three of the gospels, okay, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all talk about the temptation of Jesus. What do they all tell us? They all have Jesus. Did you ever think about this? And Jesus goes, and yes, we know Jesus is tempted by Satan. He's tempted by the devil. So, he's gone through the same temptations of us. Yes. But did you notice one of the temptations is that he offered Jesus the kingdoms of this world if Jesus would bow down and worship him? Son of God, bow down and worship me, the devil, the perpetuator of all evil on earth, and I will give you all these kingdoms. Jesus never refuted his authority in that. He said, you don't have the authority. He never said that. But we see this throughout the Bible. See, when we read the Bible, we begin to understand, our mind begins to expand a little more. We think, oh my gosh, no wonder the world's so messed up. Right? And we're in a battle with that kingdom. We're of King Jesus' kingdom. We stand for King Jesus. Amen? But there's another kingdom that we're battling. And here's the crazy part, is that the people that are soldiers in the kingdom don't even know they are. And that's the deception, the deep spiritual deception. People think, well, I don't serve Satan. Well, maybe not directly, maybe. Well, there are some people that do it directly. But most people, you know, participate in evil indirectly, ignorant of the fact that they're actually participating in it. Right? And things that we allow, laws that we allow, right? We talked about the abortion laws, where they want to, these guys want to terminate babies at the time, like that the mom's giving birth, and say, well, it's okay to kill the baby instead of letting her give birth. Excuse me. You can call it abortion. I call it prenatal infanticide. It's murder. And you know what? You do something like that, you know, baby comes out, and the governor over there in Virginia, the governor says, well, if the baby is born, then we'll make him comfortable, and then we'll talk with the doctors about what? Killing the baby? Are you crazy? And I could not believe my ears, and I'm hearing this, and I'm thinking, well, this is what happens when we become acceptable, when things become acceptable in our society, and we do nothing about it to fight against it, and we just think, well, okay. Well, I understand. And that's what all evil needs to succeed, is for the other kingdom of God to just acquiesce and do nothing. Not that we don't do anything, but I think more of us need to stand up and be bold and go, you know what, let's call evil what evil is. Amen? Some of you guys are like, that's something to think about. So we're at war with this other kingdom. Jesus tells us this ruler of the world will be judged. He'll be cast out. We know that the devil loses. He is going to come in the form. He'll have his own human host and Antichrist later on. And, you know, all that's in Revelation. But for right now, we don't really see that kingdom. But we see the effects, don't we? Don't we see the fruits of the kingdom of God? When people are getting saved and people are growing in the knowledge of God, then we see the fruits of the kingdom of the devil when people are being deceived and they're being led astray and they're being lied to and they're being told that, you know, you don't have to, you're born a boy, but you could be a girl if you want to. Wait a minute. What happened to born that way? You know, I'm pretty sure if you're born a boy or a girl, you're both, that's it. There's no difference between sex and gender, so don't let anybody deceive you with that kind of a thing. But this is where it's gone. We're going to places that most of us never thought we would go. Why? Well, I don't want to tell that person what to do with their life. Sure, you can respect somebody, but at some point you got to go, you know what? Killing babies is wrong. At some point you got to go, you know what? This is marriage, this is not. At one point, you got to go, no, I'm sorry, girls don't get to play on boys' teams, and boys don't get to play on girls' teams, because why? They're different. Somebody's going to get hurt. I mean, you might have a really big girl that might hurt one of those guys. Could happen, right? So I see this kind of thing going on, and I go, this is crazy. People just want to deny reality altogether. And we think, ah, that's no big deal. Oh, Dave, that's just one thing here in the news. No. No, it's not. It's being taught to your children at the youngest age level, okay? You just don't realize it. You don't know. You don't know yet. We got quite a battle on many fronts. But remember, there's one enemy that we're against. It's the devil, right? But we're of Jesus' kingdom. So the nature of these kingdoms are different. Ephesians 5, 6 through 11, and I have that in your notes there. It says this, let no one deceive you with empty words because of these things, for the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. Where at one time you were in darkness, but now you are in the light You are in light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. I understand there is a time and a place to be nice, to be respectful, and to be gentle. But when evil is afoot, we need to stand our ground and say, that is wrong. When, as parents, they're coming after our children and telling them that we're bigots and we're haters and all this kind of stuff and not to believe what mommy and daddy are teaching, you better watch out, right? Don't mess with Mama Bear, right? Don't mess with Dad. Guys, we need to be aware of what's going on. Because the devil has a propaganda machine like you would not believe. Hollywood. I just watched a TV show last night. And I'm sorry, I didn't watch the show. I had to turn it off. But I could already have the gist of it. Oh, they're going to make Christians look like a bunch of mean, bigoted, hateful people. Here we go again. Hollywood loves to do this. And they don't get it. They don't understand that they're of the other kingdom. They're on the devil's side, and the devil's snickering, I got them believing this stuff. They don't understand that God loves them, Jesus loves them, He's got a plan for their life, He has His will. He's laid out what is moral. We didn't just make it up, but He's laid out these laws for us, these rules for us, how He wants us to act. And it's for our good. But you see, the world doesn't get that. Those that are blinded, they don't get that. But I see this all the time. Gang, there are so much agenda in the stuff on TV right now. You would not believe. I ought to do a message. If I just sat down with you for an hour, I could go through all the things that are being taught that are anti-Bible, anti-Christian right now on Hulu, on Netflix. So much. It is so aggressive. It never was that bad when I was a kid. My gosh, I mean, I grew up with Mickey Mouse Club, okay? MICKEYMOUSE, Mickey Mouse, right? And that was it. It was all good. Like, oh, that was nice. And now they're talking about sexual things in these little cartoons and they honor kids. And I'm thinking, this is horrible. Why isn't anybody saying anything? Why isn't anybody doing something? Well, I don't want to say. Maybe they want their kids to watch that. I don't think so. I think it's not just Christians. I think a lot of parents in general would be freaked out if they just sit and watch some of these shows. Think about it. And then you're going to be careful when you put your phone in front of your baby, you're going to be like, make sure you put some safeguards on there. Amen. They don't accidentally see something they shouldn't see. There's crazy stuff out there. Well, a lot of the babies aren't going to understand, but your kids, you really need to be aware. Be aware of what's on YouTube and what they're watching. Be aware of it. So we see this out happening daily. Two kingdoms in conflict. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Right? So this is what's going on. So how do you fight this fight? Well, I know it's easy because you see something and you get mad, right? And you go on Facebook and there's all these things. Oh, I can't believe what's going on. Oh, angry face. Yeah, because now you don't have to say anything. You can just angry face somebody, like angry face. Yeah, I angry faced you. Oh, what is it? What do you mean by that angry face? Because you can't just like something anymore, right? Because somebody might take it the wrong way. So now there's sad face and angry face, and there's all these different emojis that you could choose. But I look at these things, and I'll try and engage people, but there's so many people that aren't thinking. They're angry, and sometimes even Christians are angry, and they just say stuff right out off the bat. No, don't do that. Don't react that way. But engage somebody in conversation. You know, hey, this is what I believe. This is what the scriptures say. Everybody else is putting out their opinion. Why not put out yours? Amen? But just do it in a loving way. But we need to be salt and light. What does it say? What is the fruit of light? What does light do? Light exposes what's in the darkness, right? But it exposes it from all the angles so you can look around and see all the angles, and there's nothing that can hide from the light. See, no one can hide from Jesus. Amen? No one can hide from him. Nothing can hide from him, from the light of God. And he has given us, as his people, as his army, now in the world, a task to lead people to the light, to lead people to him, to preach the gospel, to share with the families and those that are affected, others that are affected by this, that they can see what's going on, because people aren't, again, they're blinded. It says right here that they're blinded. The devil, the god of this age, small g, blinds people so they can't see the truth of what is going on. Right? What's one of the examples? Oh my gosh, those pro-life people, they're so against women. Where do you get that from? Right? Where do you get that from? It is a lie. It's a lie. I don't have time to go into all those talking points, and I don't mean to just be on that one particular issue, but that's a lot of what's in the news right now. But I want to talk about it to this, for this reason alone. Stop hiding in your hidey hole. Come out and speak your mind with the love of Jesus and say, you know, this is where I stand. Because it's the people on the other side that are all excited. They're standing firm, and they're yelling loud, and they're presenting what they think is a good case. And you know what? When somebody sees somebody real emotional and presenting their case, and they go, wow, well, maybe they have a point, right? And us Christians, we're so nice, and oh, but sometimes we're so quiet. But we need to speak out the truth, amen? We need to speak to our families. We need to speak to our friends. We need to speak to our coworkers and go, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I can't nod my head and agree with that. I got another viewpoint. Oh, you guys, rah, rah, rah. Really? I'm not unloving. I'm not bigoted. Let me just explain to you what I believe. Just share the gospel. Amen? You know, in Korea, there's North Korea and there's South Korea, and in the middle, they have what's called the DMZ, or the Demilitarized Zone. And what that is a buffer between the North and the South. Now, if you're in that zone, supposedly you're safe. You're supposed to be safe, right? That's a neutral zone, or it's a neutral area. But when there's a kingdom of the devil on one side and the kingdom of God on the other, there is no DMZ. There is no neutral zone. And so people thinking, oh man, I don't have a dog in this game. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Satanist. I don't worship the devil. I just do whatever I want to do. Jesus says, if you are not for me, you are against me. Period. It's his words, not mine. He says, if you're not for me, you're against me. Now, you might not willingly know you're on the other side, but you are. You are on the other side until you're on Jesus' side. There is no DMZ. There is no neutral zone. As much as people would like to believe that, that's not what we see in the scripture. We were in darkness at one time. Maybe you thought at one time you were good enough. Oh, I'm good enough to get to heaven. Or maybe you did some things that made you feel guilty or whatever you were before you were a Christian, but you were on the other side. You were not neutral. You were not going to heaven. You were not going to be with Jesus. You were not walking in the light. You were walking in the darkness. But Jesus touched your heart with the light. Amen? And he awakened you. And you accepted him into your life. And light came into your life. And then he says, what? Repent. You know what repent means? Repent means is the word metanoia. It means to literally change my way of thinking. It means to go in the complete opposite direction that I was going before. And so I'm thinking now, I want to serve God. I want to live for God. I don't want to live in the world anymore. I don't want to sin anymore. And so this message of, well, Jesus died for me, so I can just live however I want, is not the gospel. Jesus said it himself. What? He talked about the kingdom of God. Then what did he say? Repent and believe, right? Repent, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. But then he gives you the Holy Spirit that helps you overcome your sin. He doesn't say, I just want you to change your mind and live a good life. Well, anybody could say that. Well, just try to live a good life. Well, I've been trying to do that. You can't without Jesus. You can't be good on your own. Romans says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody's messed up. Nobody can do it on their own. However, when he says repent, 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 change your mind, repent of your sin, and don't say, well, this is a sin. I don't like the sin. I like that sin. I don't like this sin. I like that sin. I don't like that sin. No, sin is sin. Whatever he calls sin, it's sin. Don't do it. Repent and believe in him. And you're thinking, wow, that's hard to do on my own. You don't have to do it on your own. That's who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to overcome the desires of the flesh, overcome the sin in your life. Amen? And when we overcome that, it's amazing. When you have that peace in your life, when you are walking with God, none of us can do it perfectly. We're all going to be tempted in some way. But when you really start walking with God and you start thinking different thoughts, when you worship, it's just different. You feel touched by the Holy Spirit. When you listen to the teaching of the Word of God, you take it in and go, this is good. Well, before you're going, that's interesting, right? Something changes within us. But it starts with repentance. We cannot leave out repentance. Without repentance, there is no power for transformation. We need to repent of our sins. We need to turn away from the darkness, turn away from the old kingdom, and walk into the new kingdom. Amen? And here's the thing, is we can only belong to one kingdom. Jesus said that, right? He said, we must be, what? Born again. We must be born again. What do I need to do to be saved, Nicodemus said in John chapter 3. Well, you must be born of the Spirit and born of water. You've got to be born again. Once you are born into the kingdom of God, you can't go back. You don't want to go back, right? Anybody want to go back? I don't know. It's kind of fun back there. It's amazing how we have selective amnesia, isn't it? As we think, oh, we're saved, and then life gets hard, and you start getting tempted, there's trials, and you think, well, you know, maybe in my life before God wasn't so bad. Oh, how easy we forget. You cannot have dual citizenship if you're going to follow Jesus Christ. We cannot have dual spiritual citizenship. We have either, some of you guys, I know, it's funny because you guys are dual citizens, right? But when it comes to Jesus, you're only a citizen of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the devil. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and we thank you and we honor you for all that you do in our lives. Lord, I pray that the truth of your gospel would just go throughout all these islands, that those who have been living in the kingdom of darkness would come into the kingdom of light, that people would believe on you, Lord, and on your gospel, on your good news, Lord Jesus. Let us no longer walk in darkness, but let us walk in your light and your goodness and your love and your peace. That's where we want to be. And when we're tempted, Lord, to go back, we're tempted to slide back into that other one. Just remind us, God, that's not where we want to be. Only you have the words of truth. Only you have the words of life. And we know that you're always there with us, no matter what our struggles are. And so, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for saving us. We thank you, Lord, that we're not merely citizens in your kingdom, but that we are your sons and daughters. And you will never disown us. You will never leave us or forsake us. We are forever yours. Oh God, help us then to bring more people into the kingdom of God. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, God bless you guys. You have a great week.